Serving, serving while we search. Gathered, feed our deepest being. Prophets, truth, and godly nerve. Scattered, let our life's fruition nourish others while we serve. Visit towns and inner cities, penetrate our steel and stone with a love that melts our coldness, making mission here our own. We will seek you, love transfigured. With your bread, your wine, your spirit, nurture us for your intent. Let your will be our vocation, lived as song and sacrament. May compassion lead to service till we join the saints above. Grant us hope for each tomorrow. Fill our faith with vibrant love.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship on this Canada Day weekend. Would you be seated, please? My name's Kevin Dixon, and I've been asked by Father Michael to fill in for today so that he can take what I think you would probably agree is some well-deserved time off. It's almost a year that Michael's been with us here at St. James, and I've been really pleased to sit in the pew Sunday by Sunday and to experience his ministry and to support him in the work that he's doing. And I suspect that we all feel similarly. I don't know if there are any announcements today or not. If not, I would just encourage everybody to stay after the service for refreshments in the parish hall, an opportunity to greet one another and welcome those who may not have been before. Let's stand now as we worship God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you have taught us through your Son that love fulfills the law. May we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And may we love our neighbor as ourselves, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and your need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Some hands have held the world together. Some hands have fought in wars forever. Tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? Some hands have blessed a million people. Some hands helped free the world from evil. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? World could use a hero of the humankind. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? Some hands can stop a life from dying. Some hands comfort a baby crying. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? The world could use a hero of the humankind. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? I want to sing it from my heart. I want to hear it in the wind till it blows around the world and comes back again. And all that we can ask is for us to be free, to use them when we want, for whatever the need. Some hands give voice to a nation. Some hands wrote the times they are a-changing. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? What shall I do with these hands of mine? The world could use a hero of the humankind. So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine? So tell me, what shall I do with these hands of mine?
Be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, bless my words and touch all our hearts, that we may be open to the power and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In one of Aesop's fables, a lion, a fox, a jackal, and a wolf all go hunting and successfully kill a deer. The deer is divided into four parts, as the four animals celebrate their success. And as the other animals look on, the lion takes the first quarter because the lion is the king of the beasts. The lion takes the second quarter because he is the one who decides which animal gets which portions of the deer. The lion takes the third quarter because of the lion's help in catching the deer. And the lion takes the fourth quarter for his superior strength. Doesn't sound fair, does it? But it's from this story that we get the expression, the lion's share, which refers to the one who gets the biggest portion. As we approach Canada Day tomorrow, we remember that Canada is a country that has received the lion's share in many respects, not only in resources, but also in achievements. Among the nations of the earth, we have been listed first in literacy rates. Canada was the first British colony to gain self-government. Canada was the first country to conduct a national survey on violence against women. The first country to have a domestic communications satellite. The first to propose an international treaty to ban landmines. Sure, we may be disappointed that the Stanley Cup slipped through our fingers last week, but let our defeat be sweetened by the fact that Canada is the largest global producer of maple syrup. As Canadians, we are undoubtedly fortunate. The Bible's references to a land flowing with milk and honey could easily apply to Canada. We have received the lion's share of many things: stable government, abundant resources, a well-respected banking system, the freedom to worship God according to our own beliefs. By any definition, we are richly endowed. And responsibility comes with this. What the Apostle Paul said in our epistle reading this morning could equally apply to us as Canadians. "Now, as you excel in everything," Paul said, "so we want you to excel also in generosity." Now, as you excel in everything, so we want you to excel also in generosity. Could it be that Paul had Aesop's fable in mind when he wrote this epistle. I mean, no doubt he knew the story. He knew Greek literature. He was writing to a Greek audience. Perhaps he was reflecting that the people to whom he wrote, that is, the Christians in the city of Corinth, had received the lion's share of many things. So he urged them to give money to support their Christian brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, who at the time were suffering a famine. Verse 7, that one that I referenced just a moment ago, is the Apostle Paul's version of a pep talk. Now, as you excel in everything, so we want you to excel also in generosity. And characteristically of Paul, it was a pep talk in which he damned his readers with faint praise. He praised them for the good fortune, but surrounding those words is a passage in which he condemned them for their stinginess. These Corinthians had a tendency to be proud and superior in their opinion of themselves and of their spirituality. Paul, earlier in his second letter to the Corinthians, made sure that he knew that their fellow Christians in Macedonia, who were themselves afflicted and poverty-stricken, had already given money beyond their means to support the hungry Christians in Jerusalem. In other words, he urged the Corinthians to think twice before they patted themselves on the back. Others with less had done more. Now, it's obvious that Paul would like to have commanded, but he knew he couldn't. It's impossible to command a spirit of generosity, just like it's impossible to command love. It requires an internal response. So instead, Paul appealed to the Corinthians' sense of fairness. They could identify with that. Yet he gave his appeal a hard edge, as sometimes even in our own experience, when he said, "It is a question of a fair balance between your abundance and their need." And then, just to drive the point home a little more deeply, he says, "As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little." For Paul, as I would suggest it must also be for us, the gospel mandates equitable distribution. According to the United Nations, from 1990 until 2014, the world made remarkable progress in reducing extreme poverty, with over a billion of the world's people moving out of the condition of extreme poverty. Most of this poverty reduction was in East Asia and the Pacific, as well as in South Asia. But since 2014, the pace of poverty reduction has slowed because COVID-19 caused a 3-year loss of progress toward the UN's goal of eradicating extreme poverty by 2030. In 2023, almost 700 million people around the world continued to subsist on less than $2.15 US per day. And then there's the question of the growing gap between rich and poor in our world. In 2021, the World Economic Forum reported that the average income gap between the top 10% and bottom 50% of individuals globally almost doubled across the past 2 decades. And the infamous year of 2020 marked the steepest increase in the gap, the steepest increase in the global billionaires' share of wealth on record. And the last stat that I want to share with you is a startling one from the OECD, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. And I think we all feel this one in some way or another. Currently, in Canada, the gap between income and the cost of housing is the greatest among the wealthiest 7 nations in the world. The gap between income and the cost of housing is greater in Canada than any of the G7 nations. Since 2005, home prices have increased a whopping 65% faster than income has increased. Now, we can all find ourselves somewhere in these figures that I've just shared. None of us lives on less than $2.15 a day, thankfully. Some of us may, in fact, be among the fortunate 10% of income earners, while others are not. And the news about housing costs in Canada is a mixed bag depending on whether you already own a home or are wanting to get into the market. You and I cannot level the global scales of inequity even if we want to. And we know that for some of us, those scales are tipped to our disadvantage. But as Helen Keller said, I can't do everything, so the little I can do, I will do. And the hard edge to this passage from 2 Corinthians gives me a direct opportunity to share with you four foundational principles for financial stewardship based on Scripture. Let me say, first of all, these are principles. These are not rules. These are not laws. And circumstances can vary according to our personal situation. And secondly, let me say, I'm preaching this sermon because you have a new rector and he wouldn't preach this. I'm trying to do Michael a little favor here today, saying something that next week you can say, what did you invite him to come and preach for? So the first principle is that God owns everything. When we come to accept this as true, then it changes the way that we think about the money that's available to us. When we accept that God owns everything, then we no longer ask, how much of my money should I give to God? Instead, we learn to ask, how much of God's money should I keep for myself? Secondly, people are stewards of gifts and goods. We are all stewards of a variety of gifts. Some people can sing, while others can design a railway bridge. Some of us can't sing or design a railway bridge, but there are other things that we can do. To put it as simply as possible, whatever gifts or goods God has given to us, we have a responsibility to use them prudently out of respect for God who gave them to us. This is the parable of the talents, the three guys who use their money well or bury it in the ground. To use our gifts and goods well is to be a good steward. Third, goods are to be given, shared, and enjoyed. Martin Luther's words are poignant here. He said, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. Giving, sharing, and enjoying is the antidote to parsimony. And finally, practicing stewardship leads to spiritual growth. And here Martin Luther speaks to us again. He said, there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Now the fact is, as I said before, no amount of haranguing from the pulpit or time spent on a pew is going to make a person more generous. Spiritual transformation is what makes us more generous. So what about you? You who live in a nation renowned as one of the wealthiest and best educated, are you holding back from giving out of a fear that you won't have enough? Are you giving but doing so grudgingly? Or are you giving cheerfully and experiencing the spiritual growth that comes with it? I want to challenge you this morning to resist the nasty origins of the expression lion's share. If you hear nothing else, hear that. Resist the nasty origins of the expression lion's share. It's not ours just to hoard. Don't be one who rationalizes keeping the most for yourself. Don't take your good fortune as a Christian in this nation for granted. Whatever our personal circumstances, we are indeed richly blessed in our spiritual freedom here. And finally, do not resist the truth that God effectively accesses your heart through your wallet. If your wallet is consciously closed, so will your heart be also. As a Canadian people, we are a nation of unending skies, fertile soils, abundant forests, hills, and oceans. And as Christians in this land, God requires us to be a people of firsts. first in compassion, first in unbounded kindness, and first in generosity. Amen. Let us stand now and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you please take a position for prayer?
It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. Lord of life, you raised Jairus' daughter from the clutches of death. Fill your church with new life to proclaim your wonders. Remove the fear that blocks trust in you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises
to our God. Lord of life, the leader Jairus begged for your help. Be with all who carry the burden of government. Turn our longing into zeal for your kingdom. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
Lord of life, your generosity brings riches beyond measure. Expand the horizons of all responsible for financial planning. Increase social capital and make us mindful of the consequence for all. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We will sing praises to our God.
Lord of life, some cry out for your healing touch in secret and shame. Pour out your compassion on all who are embarrassed at their condition. Restore the dignity and self-worth of all who come to you. Today we pray especially for Anna, Ashley, Ray, Peter, Ron, the Asphall family, Eunice, Gavin, Dawn, Carrie, Joan, Sylvia, Catherine, Don and Nancy, Judy, Carolyn, Robert, Trent, Deb, and Norma. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Lord of life, you stretched out your hand and restored the little girl to life. Hear the cries of all who mourn and long for what cannot be. Turn our wailing into dancing at the promise of your resurrection. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with a sign of God's peace. Peace of Christ.
Please do.
Thank you. The peace of Christ. Peace. Thank you. He's Paul. Great singing.
God of wisdom, receive all we offer you this day. Enrich our lives with the gifts of your Spirit, that we may follow the way of our Lord Jesus Christ and serve one another in freedom. We ask this in his name.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
myself for you.
The body of Christ, food for the journey.
God of power, we are nourished by the riches of your grace. Raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, and fit us for his eternal kingdom, that all the world may call him Lord. We ask this in his name. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who walks on wounded feet, walk with you to the end of your path. May our Lord Jesus, who serves with wounded hands, help you to serve one another. May our Lord Jesus, who loves with a wounded heart, be your love now and always. Bless God wherever you go, and may you see the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Peace, to love and serve the Lord.